إن الحمد لله
Surely all praises to Allah.
نحمده
we praise Him, we rely on Him,
ونعوذ
we ask for His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Him from the evils of ourselves and from the bad among our deeds. He whom Allah guides no one will lead astray, and He whom He leads astray no one will guide, and I bear witness that there is no God but Allah alone without companions.
وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله
صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم.
أما بعد فنواصل بإذن الله تعالى شرح
We will continue today, inshallah, in explaining the book of Risala Tabuqiyya, written by Imam Ibn Qayyim, may Allah grant him mercy. Last time, our subject was following people, whether following the miserable or the ones who are going to spend eternity in misery, or following the pious ones and the good ones.
When
it comes to following the evil ones because of their higher status or their authority or their perceived goodness, the followers can be just as astray as those who are being followed.
And
sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes the ones that are being followed are actually good people, such as Isa alayhi salam, who was a prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But those who follow after, they think that they follow the truth and they follow what Isa alayhi salam came forth with, for example. But those followers are among the evil ones because they changed the message and they did not really follow what their perceived leader has come forth with. And then after that, the author mentioned the case when the ones who are being followed are good and the ones who are following them are good too. Now he's saying that this situation, those kinds of followers have two subtypes. The first subtype is those who have their own good deeds, who are fully functional human beings, independent in their actions and decisions, and have their own good deeds. And then the second subtype is where we stopped. Now, sometimes the ones who are being followed are good pious people, but the followers are for example, little children who died before reaching adulthood or puberty. So they're not really independent, they don't have their own deeds, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate them to the level of their followees.
فهم أتباع المؤمنين من ذريتهم الذين لم يثبت لهم حكم التكليف في دار الدنيا وإنما
هم
مع آبائهم
تبع لهم. Who is independent in their who are not independent in their actions.
واتبعتهم ذريتهم بإيمان ألحقنا بهم ذريتهم وَمَا أَلَفْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who believe and their descendants follow them with good faith, we will join them with their descendants, and we will not disregard any of their good deeds.
وَأَتْبَعْنَاهُمْ ذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ بِإِيمَانٍ فتفسيرها يحتمل ايه ما ذكر المؤلف هنا يعني قراءه واتبعناهم ذرياتهم بالايمان انها تشمل ايه غير المكلفين من الذريه غير المكلفين ان الله تعالى بكرمه الحقهم بدرجه ادم قال اخبر سبحانه انه الحق
ذريتهم
في الجنه
the descendants with the predecessors in
Jannah.
And because those descendants have no good deeds to deserve
that
level,
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala added, and we did not disregard any of their good deeds. And they goes to those who believe, or the followees. Which is to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by elevating those descendants up to the level of the followees, that's not going to reduce the level of the followees in any way, even if the descendants don't have any good deeds of their own. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave those descendants in a lesser level than those, or He will not leave them at a lesser level than the predecessors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His generosity will elevate them and make them join their predecessors.
يعني لم ينقص درجة الآباء حتى ينزلوا إلى درجة الآباء وإنما زاد الأبناء ورفع درجتهم حتى أعلاهم إلى درجة الآباء ثم لما كان هذا الإلحاق في الثواب والدرجات فضلا من الله فربما وقع في الوهم أن إلحاق الذرية أيضا حاصل لهم في حكم العدل يعني يقول قد يتوهم
إيه People may think, someone may think, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates those descendants, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also join their predecessors with according to the sins that the predecessors performed.
الله تعالى يعطي الذرية من الدرجات ما يرفعه إلى درجة الآباء لكن من جهة
But the truth is not that way. If the predecessors perform sins or bad deeds and they get punished for it, then their descendants who did not reach adulthood or did not have the state of mind and life to be responsible for themselves or their own deeds are not going to follow them in those sins when it comes to their punishment.
قال فقد تضمنت هذه الآيات يعني هذه الآيات التي أوردها المؤلف أقسام الخلائق كلهم أشقيائهم وسعدائهم السعداء المتبوعين والأتباع والأشقياء المتبوعين والأتباع إذن هذه الآيات التي أوردها المؤلف
Now, the author is saying that those verses that we just mentioned have actually included all kinds of people, the good and the bad, and whether they're followers or followees.
فإن كان من قسم سعيد انتقل إلى ما هو فوقه. وبذل جهده والله ولي التوفيق والنجاح يقول يعني على العاقل ان ينظر الى
Now the author is saying اذا كان من
قسم من السعداء
that everyone should look at their should criticize themselves and to see what team they would likely be on. Would they be on the good winners team or the ones that are the miserable or the loser team? And we should all hurry to save ourselves if we think that we're not among the winners, as long as we have time to do so, before we run out of time.
قال والمقصود بهذا أن من أعظم التعاون على البر والتقوى التعاون على سفر الهجرة إلى الله والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم باليد واللسان والقلب والمساعدة والنصيحة تعليما وإرشادا ومودة. من أعظم التعاون على البر والتقوى أن يتعاون
And one of the greatest forms of helping ourselves, helping each other with bir and taqwa, is to help each other in hijrah or migrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ومن كان هكذا مع عباد الله فكل خير إليه أسرع وأقبل الله إليه بقلوب عباده.
And whoever loves all kinds of good and helping people in doing good,
ومن دعا إلى هدى كان له مثل أجور من تبعه فكلما ساعد إخوانه وأعانهم
then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rewards will hurry to him or her.
وأقبل الله إليه بقلوب عباده.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
كما قال تعالى سيجعل له الرحمن ودا.
Who will make the hearts of people come near to him or her and like them.
لأنه يساعدهم في الخير ويأخذ بأيديهم إلى طريق النجاة. وفتح الله على قلبه
أبواب العلم ويسر the doors of knowledge to their hearts.
فوائد مساعدة الناس للأخذ بأيديهم إلى طريق الخير. أن الله تعالى يفتح على قلبك أبواب العلم ويسره لليسرى، واليسرى هي المقصود بها الجنة، يعني المقصود باليسرى الخصلة أو الأمر الذي فيه اليسر وفيه الخير، ومقصود التيسير إلى طريق الجنة. ومن كان بالضد فبالضد.
And whoever is the opposite of that, then the consequence is going to be the opposite too.
الناس عن طريق الخير ويمنع عنهم أسباب الخير، فإنه على العكس من ذلك يلحقه نصيب من أوزارهم ويمكن الله تعالى في قلوبهم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn everyone's hearts against them. And on the day of judgment, everyone will curse them and will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to multiply their punishment.
وما طريقه وما مركبه. في بعض النسخ يكون في عنوان هنا اللي هو ايه زاد المسافر وطريقه ومركبه، يعني نتكلم في هذا الفصل.
Now the author is going to move into a different subject. And he introduces us to that subject by saying, now that I have told you about this great migration, this great movement from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger dislike to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger like. Now I'm going to talk about the supplies that a traveler will need on this journey, and the path that traveler is going to have to take. And I'm also going to talk about the means of travel that the traveler is going to need.
قال قلت زاده العلم الموروث من خاتم الأنبياء.
The supplies are the knowledge that has been inherited from the final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. and there is no supply other than that. And whoever does not obtain that supply, then he shouldn't even leave his house, and he should just sit down.
فله أسوة به. يقول إذا زاد زاد المسافر في طريقه إلى الله تعالى هو العلم النافع العلم الموروث عن خاتم الأنبياء. طبعا عندما يأتي الحث على العلم يعني الذي ينجي الإنسان في الآخرة المقصود به العلم الإيه الشرعي العلم
And the author here means that this knowledge is general knowledge of Sharia. And that's what we inherited from Rasulullah. Because Rasulullah was not a chemist or a physicist or a mathematician, but his knowledge was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed and He forbade. And the scholars who come after the prophets are those who are those scholars who inherited the sciences of religion. The other sciences of life go according to what we intend from them. The reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us for following those other sciences are according to what we use them for, are according to what we intend to study them for, and what we eventually use them for.
فقال زاده العلم الموروث من خاتم الأنبياء صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا زاد له سواه فمن لم يحصل هذا الزاد فلا يخرج من بيته وليخرج مع الخالفين فرفقاء المتخلف البطالون أكثر من أن يحصل.
And those who did not obtain that knowledge, the knowledge of religion, are so many, and whoever doesn't obtain that knowledge will have a lot of friends because they're all over the place. And on the day of judgment, no matter how many friends that person has, they won't help him at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it will not benefit you at all. It would not make any difference today, now that you have transgressed, that you are all together in punishment. So no matter how many they are, the number is not going to make it any easier.
أنهم يعني لا يخفف عنهم العذاب بسبب مشاركة غيرهم لهم في العذاب. يعني يقول في مصائب الدنيا يعني
and that's the opposite of life.
العامة يعني بالخلق في الدنيا وفجأة
Allah سبحانه وتعالى made it so that if one person is hit with a calamity and he sees everyone around them hit with the same calamity, it makes them feel a little better. And they can help each other in overcoming it. But on the day of judgment, it's the opposite. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us refuge from that. No matter how many are together in the fire, it doesn't make them feel any better.
قال فإن مصائب الدنيا إذا عمت صارت مثلاتا.
And here the author is saying exactly that point.
وتأتى بعض المصابين ببعض كما قالت الخنساء.
There's a famous poet named Al-Khansa. She lost her brother and before Islam.
قالت ولولا كثرة
الباكين حول had it not been for the great number of those who are crying around me, crying for their brothers, I would have killed myself. And all their brothers are not like my brother, but I'm trying to make myself feel better by looking at them and how they're grieving. She became Muslim after Rasulullah became a messenger. Her brother died before Islam, and after she became Muslim, she had four boys who all became martyrs in the Battle of Qadisiyah against the Pharisees. When she lost her brother before Islam, she because of the lack of her faith at that time, she became extremely depressed and sad, and she wrote those poems, or she said those poems. But when she lost her children after she became Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her patience, and she was not as sad or depressed as she was.
معدوم بين المشتركين في العذاب يوم القيامة. يعني هذا في مصائب الدنيا الناس يعني يتأثر بعضهم ببعض ويخفف عنهم المصاب رؤيتهم للمصاب، لكن في الآخرة لا يوجد هذا التخفيف بسبب رؤية المصاب. إذا خلاصة ما كان يتكلم عن يعني زاد المسافة
في طريق الهجرة إلى الله تعالى. And so this is the supply that the traveler will need. Now he's going to talk about the way or the path.
عن طريق السفر أو طريق الهجرة.
He's saying that that path is.
قال وأما طريقه فهو بذل الجهد واستفراغ الوسع. الطريق هو إيه؟ بذل الجهد واستفراغ الوسع. الإنسان يعمل كل ما في وسعه ويبذل كل
طاقته وجهده.
فلا ينال بالمنى ولن يدرك بالهوينا. لا ينال
بالأماني.
لا ينال بالأماني.
نتمنى
أن يصل، هذا لا يكفي للوصول، لا بد أن يعني يبذل جهده ويستفرغ كل ما في وسعه. ولن يدرك بالهوينا يعني بالسير البطيء، هذا لا يكفي للوصول، لا بد أن يسرع ويبادر. وإنما هو كما قيل فخذ غمرات الموت واسند إلى العلا لكي تدرك العز الرفيع الدائر. فلا خير في نفس تخاف من الردى ولا
كلمة تصمم إلى لوم ذات. Elevate yourself to the to the high places so that you would reach eternal high status, because there is no good in a soul that is afraid of death. And there is no greatness given to those who are afraid of what people may say. And now he's saying that you can't gain a means of transport on this path except by two things. First is not to have any fear of what people may say about you. Because Rasulullah told us several times that faithful people are like strangers among their people. So no matter how much they try to blame or to try to embarrass you, or to strike fear in your heart. It's very important to not listen to them. The second thing is to, is for your own self to be not as not nearly as important as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
أن تهون عليك نفسك في الله تعالى لا تقدم يكون عندك من الشجاعة
and so you'd have a lot of courage
ولا يخاف الأهوال يعني المؤمن
and you would not fear calamities and disasters and hardship
لابد أن يكون عنده قوة وإقدام وأن تبعده هذه المتاعب فمتى خافت النفس تأخرت وأحجمت وأخلدت إلى الأرض
now he's saying whenever a human soul becomes fearful it will go it will turn away and sit down to the ground and now he's saying that those two things that we just mentioned which is not to be afraid of what people may say and to have and to be brave and not to fear for yourself. Those two things do not happen or are not gained except if we have patience. And so whoever has a little bit of patience, all those calamities and hardships will turn into a wind that will carry him or her to their destination. And suddenly, as he or she are afraid of those hardships, those very hardships will become great allies and great servants for him. And this is something that nobody knows except those who have actually tried.
تحيط به وهو يريد أن يسلك طريق الخير فإن الله تعالى يوفقه ويسر له أمره ويجعل هذه المخاطر يعني سببا في يعني زيادة حصول الخير قال وأما مركبه ذكر
Now he's going to talk about the means of travel
يعني في طريق الهجرة يحتاج إلى
Such as the car or the animal or whatever. Then that is truthfulness in seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a complete
a
complete devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to feel and to prove that we are very needy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, in every way
والانطراح
بين
يدي انطراح المسلوم المسلوم الفارغ الذي لا شيء عنده فهو يتطلع إلى قيمه ووليه أن يجده ويلم شعره يعني هنا يشبه إيه صورة المؤمن الذي يعني انقطع إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى يعني كإنسان إيه يعني مكسور ومصاب
And to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, just as if we are wounded, between the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waiting for His help, or hoping for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help at all times.
من الآفات ويمده بفضله ويسره فهذا الذي يرجى له أن يتولى الله هدايته وأن يكشف له ما خفي على غيره من طريق هذه الهجرة ومنازله قال ورأس الأمر وعموده في ذلك إنما هو دوام التفكر وتدبر آيات الله.
Now he's saying a very essential thing.
حيث تستولي على
الفكر. In all that we mentioned is to continue thinking about Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and His signs.
تدبر لآيات الله تعالى والتفكر في آيات الله تعالى. يعني هذا الذي.
And make those thoughts take complete possession on our minds and to preoccupy our hearts with it.
وجلس على كرسيه وصار له التصرف وصار هو الأمير المطاع أمره.
And so if the Quran itself and its meanings replaced our fantasies and our empty thoughts and became, and if the Quran sat on the thrones of our hearts and was given complete dominion within ourselves, then our paths will come straight and we will see the way clearly. And you would see that faithful person, you would see them sitting still sometimes, not saying anything, but in their hearts and in their minds, they're chasing the wind. Because they're thinking about the meanings of the Quran. And now the author has used a verse that is not, that doesn't talk about this subject, a verse that talks about mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you look at the mountains and you think that they're still, but they're actually moving just like clouds are moving. And he used that as a metaphor. Now the author is saying, this whole book is very much like a speech, so there's very much of a speech character to it. The author says, now if someone tells me, you have pointed to a great level of goodness, so open our door, open its door to us and show me what's hidden from it. And how do we think of about the Quran and contemplate it and extract meanings from it? Then I will say, I'm going to give you examples for you to take and to use them as templates in this. In this realm. Now he's going to give us some examples of some verses in the Quran and how we can understand them if we just look at them without really thinking, and how we can understand them if we actually think a little more about the exact words and why Allah chose certain words instead of others.
ويريد منك يعني أن تسلك هذه الطريقة التي ضرب لك بها مثالا هنا في آيات من سورة الجاريات أو قصة إبراهيم عليه السلام.
Now he's going to, those verses are going to be from Surah Al-Baqarah. It's about the story of Prophet Ibrahim عليه السلام. That's how Allah says,
عليه فقالوا سلام قال سلام قوم منكرون.
Did the story of the noble guests of Abraham reach you when they came to him and they said salam, and he said salam, but I don't know you? And then he went back to his family, and he came and then he came back with a cooked calf, and he brought it near to them, and he said, won't you eat? And then he became afraid of them, and they said, don't be afraid, and they gave him good news of a newborn. a newborn boy,
وتدبرتها,
and his wife came,
and she أتوا إبراهيم بصورة أبيات,
and she was very amazed, and she put her hand on her face, and she said, I'm an old infertile woman. And they said, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, that she's going to bear a child. He is all wise and all knowing. This is the end of those verses. Now the author is saying that if I ask you what is the meaning of those verses, we would normally say that Ibrahim alayhi salam had a group of guests that were angels. He slaughtered the calf and cooked it for them, but they wouldn't eat any of it because they're not human, and he became afraid of them because he didn't know what they were. They said, don't be afraid, and they gave him good news of a newborn boy, and his wife came over, and she was astonished, and she couldn't believe it. And they said, no, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, and you will have that child. Now he's saying that, I mean, it's not a bad thing to know those basic meanings of the Quran, but now he's going to give us an example of that great status you can get if you don't stop at that point, if you try to understand those verses a little further, just like the scholars and the predecessors have. Now he's saying, listen to some of the secrets in those verses.
And look how
much praise those verses included for Ibrahim alayhi salam, and how those verses included the principles of hosting, of being a good host. And how many arguments it contained, replying and rebutting arguments, some arguments of the philosophers and those who deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how those verses included a great sign of the signs of prophethood of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is a story that was also mentioned in the Torah, but with less detail, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it completely to our Prophet as a sign of his prophethood. And how they included all kinds, all the, and how those verses included the attributes, perfect attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relating to knowledge and wisdom. And how they included telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, and that He will take revenge of defiant nations. And how they included the name of Islam and the name of Iman, and the difference between them. And they included also that nobody will make benefit of all of this except those who have fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Day of Judgment, and those who believe in it. Now he's saying it's not just those verses that we mentioned. There's actually a few other ones after. And all those verses are what the author is using to get those meanings. Now he's going to tell us how he reached those conclusions. Now he's saying, listen to some explanations and elaborations on these verses.
Allah says,
have you heard of the story of the guests, the noble guests of Ibrahim? Allah started the story with a question.
فيقول لماذا افتتح الله تعالى القصة بهذا السؤال هل أتى وليس المراد بها حقيقة الاستفهام معنى حقيقة الاستفهام وطلب العلم يعني شيء مجهول للسائل
الله تعالى is not asking رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم about that story
ويعلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أتاه أو لم يأته
and Allah تعالى knows whether رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has received that story or not
يسأل يعني عن شيء هو معلوم لديه.
And so if the one who's asking actually knows the question, actually knows the answer, then it's what's intended is not actually a question itself.
في مثل هذا الموضع بمعنى قد.
And that's why some scholars say that hal here or the question tool used. Is actually used to mean قد or قد قد is a tool for confirming. It's a confirmation tool. Which means surely you have received the story of the noble guests of Ibrahim. Or the guests of Ibrahim that were treated with generosity. Now, then why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why didn't he say just say qad instead of
hal? لماذا لم تأتي قد مباشرة قد أتاك حديث وإنما أتت بهذه الصيغة هل وقال أكيد هناك سحر وراء هذا فإن المتكلم إذا أراد أن يخبر المخاطب بأمر عجيب ينبغي الاعتناء به
of something that is marvelous that he wants to be given great attention, then the speaker would start with a question mark to with a question tool in order to draw someone's attention and to make them think about it.
قال فتارة يصدره بألا وتارة يصدره بهل يعني حين تأتي همزة استفهام مثلا همزة استفهام مع الكتاب أو النحو تارة يصدره بهل فيقول هل علمت ما كان من كيف وكيف يقول يعني
so if someone comes to you wants to tell you a really interesting story if they want to draw your attention they would say did you know what happened about so and so did you see what they did on 35W so that's a more interesting way of drawing your attention
لهذا الشيء لكن إيه لم يستعد له فأنت تريد أن تعظه وتخوفه فتقول له هل علمت ما كان كذا وإما منبها على عظمتي ما يخبر به وإما مقررا له فيكون تنبيها على عظمة هذا الشيء أو لغرض التقرير يعني حتى يقر
معك ويوافقك إقرارا
قال فقوله تعالى هل أتاك حديث موسى
for example another example of Quran
هل أتاك حديث موسى
did the story of Musa reach you
هل أتاك نبأ الخصم
or did the story of the two rivals reach you
هل أتاك حديث الغاشية
or did the story of the day of judgment reach you etc. All those ways that look like questions are not really questions. They're methods of drawing someone's attention and making the subject more interesting. and urging people to think about those the following
وهو
verses.
التنبيه على أن إتيان هذا إليه علم من أعلام النبوة. إذا أول شيء تدبر في كلمة هل وفائدة هذا الاستفهام أنه إيه يعني أن الله تعالى يريد منا أن نصغي وننصف ونعتني ونحضر ذهننا لسماع هذه القصة. وبعد ذلك يقول فيه أمر آخر وهو التنبيه على أن إتيان هذا إليك علم من أعلام النبوة. يعني علامة من أعلام النبوة.
This also indicates that
the
fact that the story has reached
Muhammad
is a sign of his prophethood, because it's unknown
so
would it have come to you without our
communication? هل وصل إليك هذا الحديث؟
So another way to understand this question
غير إعلام الله سبحانه وتعالى
is could you have known that story, or do you have any knowledge of the story? Because, and the answer is no. And this is a sign that Rasulullah is a prophet who is being informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he does not know the unknown, and he does not know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell
him. قال فانظر ظهور هذا الكلام بصيغة الاستفهام.
وتأمل in a question form.
يشهد أنه من الفصاحة.
And look at how just the fact that it came as a question shows so much literal magnificence in language. Now he said, Allah Ta'ala said, ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين.
قال متضمن
لثنائي
على خليله إبراهيم.
This can actually include a way of praising Ibrahim عليه السلام. Because the word مكرمين can have two ways of understanding it. The first one is مكرمين means the ones who were treated generously. Now this means that Ibrahim عليه السلام treated them generously, and that is a way of praising Ibrahim عليه السلام because he treated his guests generously.
يعني الله تعالى قد أكرمه. فهنا يعني الآية الكريمة فيها وصف.
And the second way of understanding it is that those guests are noble.
أو أنهم مكرمون يعني قد أكرمهم الله تعالى.
In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's view, because they are angels.
وكلا المعنيين حق. يعني هذا من خلال التنوع في التفسير يعني كلا المعنيين.
Now, both ways of understanding it would indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising Ibrahim alayhi salam because he sent him those noble guests.
وهؤلاء يعني صفوة الملائكة وخيارهم فهم مكرمون عند الله تعالى وهم في نفس الوقت أيضا قد أكرمهم إبراهيم عليه السلام وأحسن ضيافته. قال وهو متضمن أيضا لتعظيم خليله ومدحه إذ جعل ملائكته المكرمين أضيافا له. يعني أن الله سبحانه وتعالى أرسل إيه
And so just the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent his noble angels to be guests in the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam is a sign of elevating for example when leaders or rulers send an envoy to someone they will choose an envoy to be a person of high status and high rank according to the person they're sending that the envoy to
فأكرمهم إبراهيم عليه السلام.
Higher the status of that of that person the envoy is going to, then the envoy, him or herself, will be of higher status too. It's almost about that when he sends guests to Abraham, he sent angels, and among the highest of the angels too. Now, Tosafot says, those angels said salam, and he said salam.
يعني أحسن من الجملة الفعلية. فهم قالوا سلاما من المنصوب هذا.
No, they said سلاما. هذا يعني with a فتحة at the end.
يعني يحتاج إلى فعل مقدر. يعني نسلم سلام. فهم يحتاج إلى أن تكون جملة فعلية. قالوا سلام.
When he replied, he said سلامون.
فنبدأ خبر. المرفوع يعني.
Now, salamun is more of a, when it has dhamma on the end, it's more of a statement of fact, which is kind of a better reply than what they said. They said salamun, and he said salamun, and in this particular case, it can be thought of as a better way of greeting them than what they greeted him.
تقديره سلام دائم ثابت المستقر عليكم. قال ولا ريب أن الجملة الاسمية تقتضي الثبوت واللزوم. الجملة الاسمية تقتضي الثبوت واللزوم.
He's saying that when it has dhamma on the end, it's a statement of fact that never changes. So he's saying peace is upon you, and peace is it's there all the time. What they said is, we give you peace, or we grant you peace. And this is more of a statement that implies that it can change sometimes. So his greeting eventually is better than their greeting.
معرف أو معروف أو عكس المعروف يعني المنكر الذي ليس معروفا. فقال قوم المنكرون أن هؤلاء الملائكة الكرام جاءوا في صورة شباب حسان الخلقة حسان الهيئة وكذا يعني غرباء لا يعرفهم.
And then he said قوم منكرون.
فقال إيه قوم منكرون يعني لا أعرفهم أو غير معروفين لدي. طبعا من المفسرون يعني بعضهم يقول أنه قال هذا في نفسه.
Some scholars say that that he said this word قوم منكرون inside his heart. He didn't actually say it to them. What it means is, you are people whom I don't know. He says, peace upon you, and he's asking for them to introduce
themselves. أنتم قوم منكرون. فكل حاجة في المنكرون قال قوم منكرون لم يقل أنتم قوم. فتذمم منهم ولم يواجههم بهذا الخطاب لما فيه من الاستيحاش. يعني لم يقل إيه أنتم وإنما حذف كلمة أنتم وإنما قال قوم منكرون. من هم قوم منكرون يعني كأنه إيه يعني لم يقل أنتم قوم منكرون قوم منكرون من هم.
He just said, what he said was قوم منكرون, which means he just said سلام قوم منكرون, which means peace is upon you unknown people. He didn't say you are unknown people. Which would have been a stronger way and would have possibly employed some animosity or some apprehension if he had said you are unknown people. He just said unknown people to me.
وهو الذي كان انكرهم يعني لم يتعرف عليهم انكرهم بمعنى يعني لم يتعرف عليهم استغرب كما قال في موضع اخر نكيرهم.
And he also said unknown, and he didn't say I don't know you. And he didn't say I don't know what's the matter with you. He said you're unknown. So that's also a softer way of saying it.
فكل هذا ايه يعني جمال الالفاظ الايه القرآن. قال وقوله فراغ الى اهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه اليهم قال الا تأتي.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
قَالَ
says
مُتَضَمِّنُ
he,
وُجُوهًا
that Ibrahim alayhi salam went back to his family and he came back with a fat calf and he brought it near to them and he said would you not eat.
مِنْهَا قَوْلُهُ فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ قال
الرواق
الى اهله والذهاب بسرعه وخفيفه
فراغ الى اهله and swiftly went back to his family
بسرعه واختفاء يعني بدون ان يشعروا
and so he didn't make them feel like he's gonna ask people to prepare food for them so he did it quickly and he did it
قال وهو يتضمن المبادره الى اكرام الضيف اسرع يعني
And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing Ibrahim as being quick in treating his guests with generosity. And he did it stealthily so that they're not embarrassed.
يتضمن ترك تخجيله وألا يعرض للحياة. كونه اختفى يعني غضب فيه اختفاء يعني اختفى عنهم أثناء إعداد الطعام أثناء إعداد الطعام. منعاً إيه لتخجيلهم يعني بأن يجهز ويعد أغراض يعني الضيافة أمامهم أو في
حضورهم حتى لا يعرضهم للحياة
قال وهذا بخلاف من يتثاقلوا ويتباردوا على الضيف الذي يتثاقل يكون بارداً وثقيلاً يعني يتباطأ في إحضار الضيافة ثم يبرز بمرأى منه ويحل صرة النفقة ويدن ما يأكل
No, he's saying that some people, instead of doing that, they take their time and they don't really act with generosity towards their guests right away. They take their time, and when they do, they show their guests what they're doing and what they're preparing for them. They actually open the bag of whatever, and they like chocolate or whatever, and they make sure that they're watching and.
قال ويتناول الإناء بمرأة
ونحو ذلك
مما يتضمن تخجيل الضيف وحياته يعني يظل يعد الطعام مثلا أمامهم أو كذا فيخرجهم من يشاركوه في إعداد الطعام أو يقول له نحن نعده بدلا منك أو يكون من جالسين محرجين أنه يعني يعمل لهم وهم جالسون
And he made sure that all of the food was prepared without them seeing the preparation process. And so the word raga means that he quickly and stealthily went back to his family.
قال وفي قوله تعالى إلى أهله مدح آخر.
Now when Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says to his family, it also includes another praise that
لما فيه من الإشعار أن كرامة الضيف معدة حاصلة عند أهله. يعني أحضر ما يكرم به ضيفه من عند أهله يعني
that
متهيئ يعني ومستعد
that he was always ready in his own house to host people
ما يحتاج الضيف
And so he didn't go to anybody else. He didn't go to the market. He didn't go to anybody. He didn't go to the neighbors asking them to help him out. Because he was always prepared to act generously in case he has guests coming over.
يكون مهيئا لحضور الضيف اذا حضر الضيف يكون اكرامه معدل وقوله فجاء بعجل
And then Allah SWT says he came back with a fat calf. And this includes three kinds of praise. The first one is that he himself served his guests. He didn't ask his servants or his wives or anybody to bring that food over. He brought it himself, and this is good manners. And then the second praise is that he brought the entire calf. He didn't bring half a calf. He brought the whole thing so that they could choose. They could pick and choose whatever parts they liked. Of course, he didn't know that they were angels. He thought that they were human. He thought that maybe some of them would like the arm, some may like the neck, some may like the back, whatever. And so he brought the whole thing. The third form of praise is that that calf was a good calf. It was Samin, which... In a different surah, Allah SWT mentions that calf was also grilled. So he grilled a healthy, good-sized calf. And this, at that time, was a precious commodity. And so his generosity did not his generosity made it easy for him alayhi salatu wasalam to bring that nice healthy calf even if it costs him no matter how much.
وهو إحضار الطعام إلى
بين يدي
الضيف يعني إحضار الطعام إلى نفس الغرفة التي فيها الضيف أو التي يجلس فيها الضيوف.
And so he didn't ask them
قال بخلاف
من
يهيئ الطعام في موضع ثم يقيم ضيفه فيورده عليه.
And so here the author is saying that it's a sign of extra generosity to actually bring the food over to your guest instead of putting it in a room and asking the guest to come over to that room.
قال وقوله ألا تأكلون قال
إن مدح وأداب
أخر فإنه عرض عليهم الأكل بقوله ألا تأكلون وهذه صيغة عرض.
And this way of saying it, won't you eat, is a includes urging them to eat, and instead of just saying, are you going to eat, or go ahead. When he says, won't you eat, it's like saying, don't be shy.
ويرشد يعني إلى كيفية تدبر كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى ويضرب مثالا في هذه الآيات الكريمة من سورة الفاتحة يقول يعني إذا تأملت إيه قوله تعالى قال ألا تأكلون يقول هنا استعمال هذه الأداة أو هذا الحرف هو ألا ألا هذه إيه أداة عرض والعرض هو الطلب برزق.
And it's a very gentle way of asking. It's not like saying eat or dive in or whatever.
There
are other words other than ألا which are ألا ولولا ولوما وهلا. Those four words, if had he used them, that would have indicated a harsh request or kind of a more stern way of asking. But he used the word ألا, which is a very gentle way of asking.
بأدب. قال وهذه صيغة عرض مؤذنة بالتلطف، يعني فيها ايه نوع من استئذان المخاطب، يعني وجاء وكانت يعني يشعرها انه يعني تكرما منه وتلطفا انه يقبل ايه إجابة طلبه. قال بخلاف من يقول ضعوا ايديكم في الطعام كلوا تقدموا ونحو هذا، يقول يعني احيانا يعني قد يستعمل صاحب البيت يعني
And so he's saying that sometimes hosts would use words of ordering, but it's always better to use gentler ways of urging people
to eat.
Now, Allah Ta'ala said, فأوجس منهم خيفة, which means that he felt afraid of them.
الله تعالى قال فلما رأى أيديهم لا تصل إليه نكرهم وأوجس منهم خيفة, يعني رأى أيديهم لا تمتد إلى الطعام, يعني أيديهم يعني بجوارهم لا يمدون أيديهم إلى الطعام.
And they wouldn't even touch the food or reach for it with their hands.
Now
the reason why he became afraid is that at that time, if you accept to eat your host's food, it's a sign of declaring that you're not their enemy. If you share food with someone, it's a way of saying that we're okay, that I'm not going to be fighting you. So the fact that they did not eat any of his food could have been an indication at that time that they came to harm him.
لما شعروا أنه خاف منهم لما وجدهم لا يأكلون قالوا له
وبشروه بغلام they said don't be afraid and they gave him good news about a knowledgeable boy that he's going to have
وهذا الغلام
and that is Isaac
إسماعيل وصف الله
تعالى and it's not Ismail
غلام حليم في سورة الصفات لما جاءت
الله تعالى described Ismail as a
حليم
as حليم or as a forgiving gentle boy. إسحاق was described as knowledgeable.
لا إسماعيل لأن امرأته عجبت من ذلك لأن امرأته هي سارة
and the proof is that it's Isaac is that his wife, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, said, I am an old, infertile woman. However, Ismail, was born to Hajar, who was not old when she had him.
بلغت 90 سنة أو كما ذكر المفسرون. قال وقد بين سبحانه هذا في سورة هود. القصة يعني جاء بتفصيل أكثر في سورة هود في قوله تعالى فبشرناها بإسحاق
And Allah Ta'ala explicitly said in Surah Hud that good news was regarding Isaac, and it's the same story. And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, his wife came.
قال فيه بيان ضعف عقل المرأة وعدم ثباته.
And she put her hand on her cheek. And she actually yelled. She actually screamed.
إذا درت إلى الندبة فصكت الوجه عند هذا الإخبار. قال وقوله عجوز عقيم. قال فيه حسن أدب المرأة عند خطاب الرجال. واقتصارها من الكلام على ما يتأدى به الحاجة.
So she only said those two words. She didn't say I am an old infertile woman. She just said old infertile woman.
لما كان يعني
عجوز عقيم.
يعني يفهم الكلام بدونه.
And so she used only enough words. And this is good manners when women are addressing a group of men.
وأما في سورة هود فذكرت السبب المانع منها ومن إبراهيم فصرحت بالعدم. في الحقيقة في سورة هود فيها تفصيل أكثر، يعني أنها عليه السلام قالت إيه؟ قالت يا ويلتى أألد وأنا عجوز وهذا بعلي شيخة إن هذا لشيء عجيب. في سورة هود يعني فيها تفصيل أكثر. قال وقوله تعالى قالوا كذلك قال ربك، قوله تعالى قالوا كذلك قال ربك، قال متضمن لإثبات صفة القول له.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the angel said that is what your Lord has said or has declared or decided. Now this includes a confirmation of the attribute of saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says things. And then they said it is He who is the all-wise and the all-knowledgeable.
اللذين هما مصدر الخلق والأمر.
And that is a confirmation for his attributes of wisdom and knowledge.
وكل أوامر الله تعالى فأوامره أيضا موافقة لعلمه وحكمته سبحانه وتعالى. فجميع ما خلقه سبحانه صادر عن علمه وحكمته، وكذلك أمره وشرعه مصدره عن علمه وحكمته.
And everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and everything He declared is stemming from His knowledge and His wisdom.
قال والعلم والحكمة متضمنان لجميع صفات الكمال. فالعلم يتضمن
الحياة. And now He's saying that knowledge and wisdom include all forms of perfect attributes.
أن الله تعالى يعني قائم بنفسه مقيم لغيره. يعني هو غني عن
includes life and
يعني يفتقر إليه ويحتاج
إليه سبحانه because you can't be knowledgeable if you're not alive. And so ultimate knowledge means that whoever has it has ultimate life and has ultimate control and ability and hearing and seeing and all kinds of attributes that complete knowledge would require. Wisdom includes the perfection in will and justice and mercy and generosity and putting things where they deserve to be put. And it also includes the justice in giving reward and punishment.
قال والإنكار على من يزعم أنه خلق الخلق عبثا وسدا وباطلا.
And so this, and also describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the all-wise includes a rebuttal of the arguments of those who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe with no purpose.
وشرع للخلق شرائع ويصيبهم من عطاء ويعاقبهم من عطاء. إذا اسمه الحكيم يتضمن إثبات القدر وإثبات الشرع وإثبات المعاد يعني والثواب والعقاب. قال ولهذا كان أصح القولين أن المعاد يعلم بالعقل، أن المعاد يعلم بالعقل وأن السمع ورد بتفصيل ما يدل العقل على إثباته. يعني هل إدراك المعاد يعني البعث والحساب والجزاء يعني هل هذا يدرك بالعقل أو بالشرع؟ يقول أصح القولين أن المعاد يدرك بالعقل.
And now the author is talking about an argument between scholars, some of them said that the Day of Judgment can be reached, believing in the Day of Judgment can be reached with your mind, and some of them say you can't know it with your mind, you have to know it through texts. Now the author is saying that that he is more favorable of the argument that the Day of Judgment is reached with your mind. Because some people may be transgressors and oppressors and evil, and be given health and property and good things in life, or the opposite. A sound mind would tell us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. And so for that justice to be fulfilled, there has to be another day and another time in which the oppressors and the transgressors will be given punishment, and the pious and the believing will be given forgiveness and rewards. But of course the actual the details of Jannah and the fire and what's going to happen exactly on the Day of Judgment, those things are to be known through texts.
وأدلة الحكمة المستلزمة لوقوعه. يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى يذكر أدلة في القرآن الكريم تدل على أن المعاد ليس مستحيلا وإنما هو ممكن الوقوع. وأدلة أخرى تفيد أنه يعني لا بد وأن يقع. يعني ليس فقط أنه يمكن أن يقع، يعني أدلة إمكان الوقوع هي في الرد على الذين يزعمون استحالة المعاد، يقولون إذا متنا وكنا ترابا.
And the Quran also uses several verses to tell us that the Day of Judgment is not only possible but absolutely definitely going to happen. Sometimes the Quran would give us signs and indications that resurrection has to be possible, and sometimes it gives us clear indications that it will definitely happen.
بحمد الله عن غيرها كافية شافية موصلة إلى المطلوب بسرعة متضمنة للجواب عن الشبه العارضة لكثير من الناس. أدلة المعاد والبعث في القرآن الكريم كثيرة.
And those proofs of resurrection on the Day of Judgment are so many in the Quran, and they are so adequate and sufficient.
لما رأيت أو لما رأيت التي أرشد إليها الكتاب.
Reply to all kinds of arguments and contentions that some people may come up with. Now he's saying that if I can, I will write a whole book about the signs or the proofs in the Quran regarding resurrection and the Day of Judgment, and how the Quran replies to the arguments of those who deny that. And inshallah, we have only one session that we'll use to finish this book, inshallah. Now, Ibn Qayyim basically is urging us to explore the Quran and to contemplate and to stop at every letter and every word in the Quran and think, why was that word used? Why was that letter used? Why was that tool used? And that no other word, no other letter could have been used as efficiently as what has been used in the Quran.
الفوائد والنصائح من كتاب الله تعالى وإلا نختصر
in every single verse and not to stop at just knowing the big picture but that's only the beginning and that we should delve into the details of the verses and to acquire more and more knowledge through that contemplation. And so he used one example, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam that we just talked about, telling us to follow that example in every verse in the Quran. We'll stop here, inshallah. If you have any questions?